There's a lot of people in the G League that can go score 40 points, but if your team is winning and you're helping your team win, that's going to give you the best shot to get a 10-day, get a call up.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Basketball Strong Podcast. I'm Tim DeFrancesco, former LA Lakers strength and conditioning coach and doctor of physical therapy, and I'm here with my co-host, Emmy-nominated writer and author, Phil White. This podcast is not just for basketball junkies. It's for anyone who loves to hear the human stories behind great people while learning the science behind preparing your body for the court and high performance. Today's guest is Tim Frazier. Tim's journey and path to the NBA has been filled with setbacks and comebacks. Tim was told no and cut by NBA teams multiple times before achieving his dream of making the cut in the NBA. As Tim says himself, when things don't go your way, if you want it bad enough, it's just a speed bump. We've been trying to get Tim on this podcast for a long time because we knew that his story was one that defines being basketball strong. Then when we had Phil Beckner on episode 82, and we asked Phil, who is the number one player in your mind that defines the term basketball strong? He, without hesitation, brought up Tim Frazier. We knew at that moment we had to get Tim on, and that's why I'm so excited to present to you part two with Tim Frazier. This is going to be a three-part series with Tim because what Tim has overcome and strived for and the way he's done it in his journey, in his path, in his life is just exactly what all of us need to understand and hear about resilience, grit, and going after what you believe in. If you didn't get a chance to listen to part one with Tim, get back there and listen. It's episode number 100. In this episode, Tim takes us into exactly how he did crack into the NBA. And although there were speed bumps even after he got there, he teaches us that it's not the adversity. It's how you respond to the adversity that cements a legacy and makes somebody basketball strong. Let's get into the conversation.
For you personally, when was that first big opportunity? Maybe it was New Orleans. And when did this go from you struggling and you coming up and down from the D League and, you know, 10-day contracts to, okay, this is actually, I think I'm somewhere now where this is going to turn into something. And that's that first maybe 2-year deal.
Yeah, I credit every little piece because when you think about it in that, I want to make sure I speak on this when I was in a D League. And, you know, I was playing well, you know, I mean, I'm triple doubles and I was playing well and I was doing, you know, and when I was there, people lose. And I tell people now that go in the G League, the biggest thing you can do to help your team is win. There's a lot of people in the G League that can go score 40 points, but if your team is winning and you're helping your team win, that's going to give you the best shot to get a 10-day, get a call up. And even now it's so much harder now because of the 2-way contracts, you know what I mean? So that the best way to do is to win and to help your team. And our team was winning. We were top 3 in the league and I was playing well and, you know, I'm triple double. So I'm trying to win. When I was going in, I was like, first we got to win. And then I'm going to try to attack everything. So they can be like, wait, he doesn't do this, you know, because he rebounds, he passes, he scores, you know what I mean? So I was trying to do all that stuff. But there was a time, it's crazy. Philly's playing Boston in Boston. And it was during the trusted process. I think all the point guards were hurt. Michael Carter Williams was hurt. Everybody was hurt. And Wow. They had no one. And I think, and literally I'm in Maine. They call me, hey man, we don't have a point guard. Can you come down? That was how I got my first 10 day. Everybody was hurt. They were in Boston and they needed somebody close. And I was the closest one.
Wow.
I was the closest one. And the funny thing about that is that in Maine, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, it's not like the NBA where you can go in there, fingerprint, get your type of stuff. You know, we shared a gym, you know, but a nice gym or whatever like that.
Right.
So the gym was locked. I got the 10-day. I mean, I got the call that day, maybe around 10 a.m. I couldn't get in the gym to get my shoes. So literally, I packed what I had, like just for 10 days. I had a car. They had a car and they drove me from Maine down to Boston. And I remember texting Avery and I was like, bro, could we wear the same size? You have any shoes for me that I can wear? I didn't have any shoes. So then he gave me some shoes. There was some Adidas Kobe's, some retro Kobe's.
And
it
was, no.
I think they were like teal or whatever. I was like, do you have anything that might resemble, you know, red, white, and blue? And I put them on and I think they were, and I wore his shoes in the game against them. And I think it was some record that I brought. I think I had 10 assists in the first, you know, my first game I ever played. And I was sitting there, I'm just like, man, this is just amazing, crazy story. I couldn't have drawn this up.
Right.
Like, hey, I was just in camp with these guys, playing right. against these guys 2 months ago, 3 months ago. Now I'm playing against them from Philly, which a program where I went worked out twice. I knew everybody there. It was literally a perfect scenario for me. And to go out there and play well too. So then I had people rooting for me in the Boston area, kind of like, oh, Tim's a great guy. I was just there the week before watching them play. Like, you know, so I had so that support system of rooting for me, low, like under the table for me to play well. And that was like, I want to say the first, like, kind of like kick. You know, we talk about kicking through the door. That was my first kick. You know, and, you know, I mean, I didn't knock the door down, but I kicked it and I showed. Like, we talk about first game ever, 10 assists, you know what I mean? Coming off of, you know what I mean? A car ride, don't know the team, didn't have practice, didn't have shoes. We talking about trust the process. Hey, we just signed this guy from up the road because we didn't have anybody to come down and, you know, I played well. So that was it. And that was my first knock at the door. I know we jumped to, you know, where I really kicked the door down was in New Orleans, but that was the first knock. And then there's some more adversity, you know, that happened in between there.
Take us into that, because I want to get to New Orleans and not lose sight of any of the adversity that happened because that was just the very beginning of it. And there was a couple of other, you're close, but sorry's. But one thing too is, you're just dropping these absolute gems here, and I can't let them go. And so we had Ed Davis on. Ed talked about,
like, good friend of mine. I love it.
ED, man, ED.
Yeah, I love it.
You can't beat ED, man. So Ed talked about how from a very early age, something in him and then people around him helped to instill some of this too, is like, obviously he had his dad who played in the NBA, and he came up, you know, kind of banging against Ben Wallace a little bit and that kind of thing. And so he had good people and putting the right stuff around him, but he had this in him of like something in him, as he said it, to us, was he just, there was something in him that knew in the back of his mind and became in the front of his mind, like, if he's a part of winning on his way to achieving his dream, like, it's going to get easier, because as he talked about it, it's like, in especially in an NBA locker room, like, when you're winning, or D league, you know, G league locker room, when you're winning, people start watching, you know, everybody eats, as Ed said, you know, and then when you're losing, Ed's quote is, shit goes crazy and not in a good way. And so, you know, it's like, I think that mentality by you was so mature at that stage and age to be able to say, like, hey, it's not just about, I got to get that triple double. I mean, we got to, if I want to really be in this spot and be noticed and see what, have people notice stuff. I mean, it's true. Everybody eats when you start winning, and everybody wants a piece of, like, what are they doing down there? What's, you know, he must be really contributing to the success of that. Not just, oh, wow, look at his numbers. I just think that's so huge. And I think it gets lost in some of today's process of a young basketball player coming up, because there's such a premium on where we can see what their numbers are and their stats were and what their mixtapes looks like and all that stuff. And it's like, well, win or lose, like, mixtape was crazy, you know? And it's like,
win or lose, he had 40 points,
right?
Crazy
right.
highlight dunks here and there. Yeah,
totally. And so I just think it's, you know, just hearing that from you is so big, but get us into, okay, so you go in 10 assists, you have this great, you know, you're on this 10 day with the Sixers, because you improved yourself. You're the closest.
At this point, then, maybe you got the Foot Locker and bought your own shoes, you know, that kind of thing.
I didn't. So literally I wore his shoes the rest of the camp. Like,
no way.
Because I didn't have, like, I wasn't able to go back up to Maine.
Right.
So literally,
they were stuck in Portland. They were stuck in Portland.
Portland, Maine. So whatever I had. And then I used them. I wore those shoes. And, you know, they make it like, it's like, why do you have on teal shoes? You know, man, that's all I got. You know what I mean? I'm trying to make it out. That's all I got. I'm not trying to make you
details.
Fancy,
just details, man. Let's worry
but
about the
for court. Me, it was, so you talk about another adversity. That I feel like I'm doing well. We're in a trusted process. You know, obviously, you know what I mean? I remember at one point, like, we're winning. Like, we're in Philly now, we're winning a game, and, like, the fans are booing us. Like, because we're winning.
You know? Right. they want the next draft pick. They don't want
you
to get too many.
We won the game, but we were winning the game. And
just because you took a lead.
Yes. So, but it gets to that. I think now we play Miami, and we have an extra day in Miami, you know what I mean? So, obviously, you know, for me, it's just oh, man, Miami is nice. You know, we're flying nice. We're eating well. I think that some of the, I forgot who took us all out to eat. So it was like, you know what I mean, team dinner. We're like, you know what I mean? Obviously, I'm eating on them. Oh, yeah, let me get a steak, live. You know what I mean? So
a couple of takeout boxes maybe too, right?
I'm enjoying this to the fullest. I'm like, man, this is you know what I mean, the NBA. I want to be a part of this.
Right. Nothing against the D League. And I'll let you keep going on this because I can't wait to hear this. But I mean, I literally have had, as I was in the D League in my time coming up, I've had a Christmas Eve dinner in a gas station in Portland, Maine, actually. So it's a little different than eating. I'm just going to throw it out there. If you were at Prime 112, are we talking in Miami there? But it's a little different deal from the going that quick from the D-League to the pros like that. So I cut you off there, but tell us how many doggy bags you took and you were soaking it up.
Man, I'm soaking it up. Everything is going well. And you speak on that, you know what I mean? I'm telling you, so I know about it. And, you know, now that things have changed in G-League, it's more, they put more money into a team. Yes. More, so it's a lot more. But back then when it was the D-League, you talk about $25 per diem.
Right.
You talk about eating fast food before games. There's no pre-game meal. There's no nothing. It was really a grind. Not saying that it's not a grind now, but for us, and especially when I was there, it was really a grind, and you really had to really want it.
Totally.
And I know we skipped past this part, but it was, you know, obviously coming out of college, I had the offers to go overseas, make money.
Yes.
And do that type of stuff. But for me, I was like, I wasn't in dire need of money. Like, you know what I mean? For me, I wanted to stay because I wanted to try this. I wanted to achieve my dream. So I was like, and the best place for me to make it to the NBA was to stay here. Yeah. So we did that. But back in Miami, we're sitting.
Yeah. So you're having your off day in Miami.
We have an off day in Miami. Everybody's at the pool hanging out. We fly back the next day to Milwaukee. And literally, I'm on the plane. You know what I mean? Now I got my own big, nice seat. I'm on the plane. I'm laid back. Everything's cool. And we land, and I get a call from my agent and say, hey, my 10-day's not even over. I think I still got the Milwaukee game.
Really?
It's not even over.
So it's not on your mind. It's not like you're counting down day four, five, six, seven. Right. You're like, okay, I got a couple days here.
Yeah. So I'm still living in, you know, I still got 3-4 days in my game, and we got another game tomorrow against Milwaukee. And I get a call from my agent when we land, say, hey, or a text while I was on a plane, but I didn't have Wi-Fi. So when I get him, I call him, he's like, hey, man, they're letting you go. They're signing somebody. And I was like, they're letting me go. I still got a couple more days. And they were like, they signed Thomas Robinson from Portland.
T-Rob.
Yeah, they signed Thomas Robinson from Portland to Philly. And I was like, damn. You know what I mean? Just like, you know what I mean? It was
so they needed the numbers. They needed the spot on.
I don't know. They went with Thomas Robinson. I think maybe another point. I forgot. Maybe somebody came back, a point guard. I'm not sure. But I was just sitting there. I was on a plane. Like, we landed. I was getting off. And then I seen it. I was like, damn. You know what I mean? Like, what are I? Like, sheesh. You know? So I go. As I'm getting off the plane, I see Coach as we're checking in the hotel. I'm like, hey, Coach, thank you for everything. You know what I mean? I appreciate the opportunity, this and that. He's like, Tim, what are you talking about? We have team meeting right now. He had no idea.
What? This is Brett Brown.
Brett Brown had no idea. I had been waived.
What?
At the time. So I don't know if it had got to them or if it was something that happened while we were on the plane and it didn't touch them yet. So,
right.
So as I'm telling him, man, I'm like, Coach, they let me go. I mean, you guys let me go. He's like, what? Just come upstairs. Like, so we check in. We drop our bags or whatever. We come upstairs. And then I meet him down the hallway. Then I start telling everybody by the coaches and everything like that. And then it was funny. They gave me, they're like, hey, Tim, we can fly you out tonight back to Maine, or you can stay back with us, you know, come back. Or I think I had to, or we can stay with us tonight and fly back with us tomorrow. So I had the option of flying back to Portland, Maine that night, or stay back in a hotel. In a nice hotel, eat well, you know, and fly back with the team the next day.
In Miami.
No, I'm in Milwaukee at the time.
You made it to Milwaukee now. Right.
Miami to Milwaukee. I get waved on the plane.
Gotcha.
So I was like, man, I stay. They go play Milwaukee. I don't even go to the game. They have a car picking me up from the hotel, meet him at the airport. So as they come back and go to the plane after the game, I'm sitting on the plane already. And like, Tim, you know, like, man, I'm still here, right? That adversity. But I had got a taste. in a piece.
Right.
And I was like, when you asked me about kicking that door, and I was like, hey, I just put a little dent in the door. And for me, yep. I was like, man, I wanted that so bad. So I went back to the G League and I went even harder. I remember asking, I was like, man, what else can I do? Like, I remember leaving asking coach, like, what can I do better?
You asked the coaching staff of the 76ers, Brett.
So I remember sitting there and talking about that as far as what can I do better? He's like, hey, man, you know, play well, continue to improve your game, work on your jump shot, make a right decision, limit your turnovers. So I was like, all right, cool. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back. I went to the G League. I tried to do that as best as possible. And from there on, I get a call from Portland. You know what I mean? We talk, I get a call from Portland literally 2-3 days before the G League playoffs. So, you know what I mean? I don't get to play in the playoffs. I go to get a call from Portland. I go there 10 days. They sign me for the rest of the year right before the playoffs. And now I get to experience the playoffs in the NBA. After a 10-day, I'm there. And I go from – I literally took a plane from Portland, Maine to Portland, Oregon. You know what I mean? I'm sitting there the whole time. We're excited. And forever. I think it's a six-hour flight. But I just couldn't – it was just – it was awesome.
Well, I mean, and then – yeah, so we get to this point. But again, like – Here it is another time where it's like a lot of people, and this now we're starting to collect up these moments where it was kind of take a little bit of a gut punch here. And I just think a lot of people, instead of saying to Coach Brett Brown, first of all, I love that it's like, yeah, you can't get rid of me that easy. I'm going to stay. I'm gonna still on the plane when we're the next day.
Absolutely.
But then it's like, it's so easy to kind of have taken that many gut punches to say like, you know what? I'm out. Like, I'm going to go back there. I know I could do my thing over there. Instead, you're like, let me get with coach. Let me ask him what I could do. Like, perfect. I'm taking notes. I'm going to do it. And, I'm not a big believer that it's just, you know, things are just all handed over to luck. I think you got to earn your luck. And this is an example of how you did that. I mean, it just, you earned it. Right. And then all of a sudden things happen and the universe has a way. And as you talk about, faith is powerful and all those things come together and all of a sudden you're headed from Portland, Maine to Portland, Oregon.
So
this part is where I think, is this where you first connected with Phil Buechner and
so not yet. So I
didn't not yet
with Phil yet.
Okay. Okay. But so take us into, you land in Portland, Oregon though. And we'll get to,
I land in Portland, Oregon. And I'll give you another situation. I did the exact same thing that I did in Boston. So now we're talking about Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum,
right?
Steve Blake. So, I'm there. They're like, who is this kid? And you know, I'm here, you know what I mean? And now I'm just around. I'm rebounding, I'm playing, I'm shooting. And again, I'm saying, who's this skinny kid? I'm dunking the ball. You know, I'm doing all these things and people start, oh, okay, cool. So now for me, there was no minutes because now we're talking about the playoffs. So there were no minutes unless there were blowouts and things like that. So, you know, I never really got to, you know, really go out there and, you know what I mean? Showcase what I did in Philly when I was playing a lot of minutes because guys were hurt.
Right.
But for me, I'm there, so I'm taking advantage of practice. That was my main thing, it was practice. And those guys, those three guys were so great because they were, you know, I call them the best of the best. And like, first off, Dame and I ended up clicking because I remember coming to him like, hey, man, like, can I follow you around? Same thing with Rondo, like, can I follow you around? Can I get along with you? Can I learn from you? And, you know, I mean, at first he was kind of, I'll tell the story I'll talk to Damian, I was very close. And he was just like, I don't know, man. You know what I mean? And then I remember he was working out and I was like, hey, man, can I jump in a workout? He was like, not this one, the next one. Right. So then I asked him, then I asked him again and the next one, he let me jump in. And then from there, it was myself, CJ, David Vanderpool was an assistant coach there. And we jumped in and we did this, you know, I think he called it like, something to 900. It's like we get up 900 shots and I'm just sitting there just like my arms are burning. But then again, I can't stop now.
Right.
I'm in there and like I'm on the second spot. We got like four more spots to go. And I'm just like, man, I can't quit now. I gotta keep going. Meanwhile, I'm shooting the thing and it's clanking off the side of the back. Like I'm not helping them at all. But I'm like trying to, like, I'm a good person, so I'm like cracking a little joke. It's like, man, I'm tired of carrying you guys, man. You know what I mean? So I'm like, you know,
making light of it.
Yeah, man. But so that was another thing. And we ended up becoming friends and working out and like spending some time together. So we talk about Phil. So Phil would come every now and then. And I remember watching And I never really, I didn't jump into the connection with Phil. I wouldn't say until when I was in New Orleans. That's when, like, every now and then I would jump in and I would get into working with Dame, and Dame was like, hey, man, I'm going to work out with Phil. He's in Portland or whatever like that. And I was like, all right, cool. But in the summer, Dame and I were kind of really inseparable. I spent all summer in Portland. I didn't go home. And then, like, when he would go, I would go somewhere. Like, we would go vacation. Like, he was doing music. I was like, hey, man, can I go? Like, I would buy my own flight. I was literally just, like, being around. Like, we became close that way. And then, like, when he worked out, I would work out strength. I would do it. You know what I mean? Obviously, he was on a different game plan, playing 35, 40 minutes a game every night. But I was trying to just do whatever I can to be there. And we had become a great close friends. And that's how that happened. And another adversity hit, man. We fast forwarded. I know I feel like I'm just talking forever. We've been
Please. Like an hour
and a half. So we fast forward that. Now we talk about a year later, I'm still on the team. Oh, before that, I have to. So after that year, we end up losing the first round of Memphis. Summer goes, then I go to summer league. I play well, but I'm still in the contract. So, but now it's crazy. So now I have to compete for the spot against none other than Phil Pressey.
No.
So Phil Pressey is the person I was really kind of competing for the spot in Boston, but he really had the edge. And yeah. I remember now, like, he Phil's out of Boston, and he and the guy Phil in Portland, and now I'm competing against him for the spot. And it was like really just a flip of, you know,
things. That's,
you
know, crazy.
And I'm competing, and like I said, Phil and I are going at it. Meanwhile, we're friends as well. I'm going at it and trying to compete. You know, obviously he wants the spot. I want the spot. I have the spot. And he wants a spot. This is how I was just flipped the other way around.
Yeah.
And then I remember asking Dame, I was like, you know what? It might have been Phil that told me. And Phil, he had just told me, he's like, hey, man, just win the day. So I remember after every practice, every summer league, after everything I would ask, I was like, Dame, did I win? Did I beat him? Like, talking to Phil, like, did I beat him? Or did, like, you know what I mean? I took
him out.
Like, did I beat him? And he's like, man, he would laugh about it, but I was serious. I was like, bro, did I win the day? And because, you know, if you win them, like, I'm looking at it, if you win the most days, then, hey, you win the spot. And I end up winning the spot. And
wow.
Yeah, I end up winning the spot. But then we fast forward. Now we talk about trade deadline. And I remember, so, you know, I'm sitting on pins and needles because I'm towards the end of the, you know, I mean, first I have the cheapest contract towards the end of the bench. I'm not really playing much because obviously we have Dane, we have CJ. I'm not seeing the court. And you know what I mean? But obviously I'm doing the best thing I can, working out, staying ready. Man, best teammate I can be. And I remember calling Dane the day before. He'll tell you the story. I remember calling Dane. I'm like, yo, am I good? Like, have you heard anything? Like, am I going to get traded? Am I going to get cut? He's like, no, I haven't heard anything, bro. I think you're good. No worries. So I'm talking to my agent. He's saying the same thing. Nothing. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm good. I'm like, all right. Meanwhile, I can't sleep at night because, like, hey, I got to make it till, I literally have to make it till noon the next day. My contract is guaranteed. I'm basically on the team. I make it till noon. I wake up in the morning. I hit Dan again. You heard anything? Nothing. Get my agent? Nothing. You know, I'm all right, cool. This day, you know, I mean, usually I always go to the front door. They go through the front door and say, hey, everybody. This day, I kind of sneak through the back, right? Go through the back door, go through the kitchen, and I eat. Because I was like, all right, just everybody, I'm out of sight, out of mind, I'm fine. I sneak through the back door, I go in the kitchen, I'm eating my breakfast, I change. I'm early, I'm always the first one there, I'm one of the first there. I'm changing early, I get a call from the GM. He's like, hey, Tim, you coming in? How long did you come in? I'm like, hey, Neil, I'm here. He's like, hey, can you come in my office? All right, I hang up the phone. I'm like, all right. Call Dame. Hey, you heard anything? So Dame's on his way over. Dame to practice. He's like, no, I haven't heard anything. I'm like, all right, cool. I go in there. They let me go. So I'm sitting there just like, damn. Like, it's another moment I'm sitting there just like, damn.
Gut punch.
Right. And he's like, man, I did everything I can. Like, you know, you start to question, like, what more could I have done? Like, it's not like I got to play. I was always on time. I was always early. I was doing it, you know, the thing.
You won the day and repeatedly.
Yeah, you know, so. They end up letting me go, and I'm sitting there, and I was like, you know, I say bye at the time, my best friend, you know what I mean? So I'm saying bye to Dame. I'm like, man, what other mentor would you want to have other than him at the moment? You know what I mean? He had just sent Houston home, you know what I mean? Not like, I think a year before that. So, you know what I mean? I say bye.
Right.
And then I pack my stuff, and I sit there in my apartment for a couple of days, and then my agent's like, hey, I got to go back to Maine. They have my rights. So I fly to Portland, Oregon. That's Portland, Maine. Yeah, so I go there, I play, I go back in the G League, I play, I do well, continue to, you know, make kill. Obviously, it's a new team now, but we still play well.
Yep.
I play well, get a call from New Orleans. And it's crazy, just God just has his plan, you know what I mean? And we talk about how many times I've been knocked down and the doubt and the crease in my mind and the negative energy, all that stuff just creeps, but he has his plan no matter what. And from, you know what I mean? From there, I'm like, all right, because now we start to think about, okay, cool, I'm getting cut all these times. Maybe I should go overseas. You know, I'm right there, though. So, you know, obviously the overseas jobs are still there. And, right. You know, I mean, they're good overseas, they're good money, and they're still there, and we're trying to figure out what it's like. But for me, I didn't want it. I wanted the NBA. I was there. I just kicked the door down. I had just kicked the door in Philly, and now I thought I had kicked it down in Portland. I'm like, right. I found a home. You know what I mean? Now I'm cool. Everybody likes me. You know what I mean? But then that, I guess it was just another knock at the door. So I go back to the G League, play well. I get the 10-day call from New Orleans. Tyreke Evans is hurt. Eric Gordon is hurt. They just need a point guard. And obviously I had just come out of the NBA. You know what I mean? I guess they had been watching. I fly from, at this time, we're flying from Portland, Maine to, I think, South Dakota for a game. So I'm in the airport. Then we had a layover in Chicago or Cleveland. It was something crazy. No, we were going to play Canton in Cleveland.
Got it. And
I land. They say, hey, my agent called. Say, hey, man, you got a 10-day in New Orleans. How soon can you get there? But they're in Sacramento. So I fly from Canton, Ohio, to Sacramento. And then I'm sitting there and another opportunity. And meanwhile, then again, now I don't really have anything because the game to Canton is just one day. So I literally have a small bag. I think I have two things of underwear, one pair of shoes. Like, I really don't have anything.
Right.
None of the, you know, for 10 days. So I fly in, and, you know, I mean, I go there because, you know, at the end of the day, what are you going to tell them? Hey, I don't have the stuff. I need to go back home. No, what do you need me to do? You need me to take a bus.
You better call Avery Bradley and have him FedEx something, you know?
Something. I'm like, I remember, hey, I'll take a bus if you need me. Just get me there. You know?
So, yeah, I'll be there.
So I take the trip to Sacramento. I meet him there. Meanwhile, I don't really know anybody, so I'm kind of just, again, in Portland, a new guy, just walking in, just boom, hey, who's this guy? They had just got back from shoot around, and I had landed, and they were going to, you know, eat their, not pregame meal, but the meal after shoot around, basically breakfast and brunch or whatever. So I kind of go there, I still got my bag, and I say, hey, how you doing? I introduce myself to everybody and go there, and I remember to say the story, because now, like, AD and I are very close now. Like, you know, I was one of my best friends. I was the best man in his wedding.
Oh, wow.
So, and I used to remember telling the story all the time. So I remember saying, like, hey, how you doing? And he literally kind of just looks at me and like, he's walking. Like, you know, he doesn't even acknowledge. And now we talk about that. Like, hey, I'm the best man in your wedding. You wouldn't even acknowledge me. What
I got there. I'm sure you've never given him crap about that since.
No, I mean, all the time. But we sit there, and it wasn't like disrespectful, but I just think he just didn't know. It was like, it wasn't
right.
It was an acknowledgement, but it wasn't like, hey, this is our new teammate. I think he just was like, hey, who's going on? And kept it walking. Like, it wasn't like he just pushed me on, but it was like, it wasn't like, hey, your new teammate, how you doing? Welcome to the team. It wasn't any of that. Some of the guys were like, hey, welcome to the team.
Yeah.
But, and we go from there, and I just, you know, in 10 days, I just remember going out there, and I was like, man, this gotta be it.
Yep.
You know, I mean, this is a sign. I know God has blessed me with another opportunity. And in the NBA, you don't get that many opportunities. And I have another opportunity to showcase my talent. And I remember a true story. The GM told me, he said, he's like, hey, Tim, we believe in you. But, hey, if you go out there and play scared, you won't finish the 10-day. And we'll send you back to Maine. And that was verbatim. Yeah. That for me, that was like, jeez. You know, I don't even have a game to, like, you know, work myself into, because I never practiced in a minute.
Sure.
But I credit him, because him telling me that, I didn't take it like, oh, I got a couple of days. I had 10 days to prove myself. I had one day. I had today to prove myself. And you know what I mean? At the time, you know, when you're young, you're like, man, that's messed up. Like, you know, but now I credit him. I'm like, bro, you told me I had one day, and I went out there and I proved myself. Played another good game, passed the ball, played well, got AD the ball, you know what I mean, got the shooters the ball, and literally from there, it turned into something that where, hey, I had kicked that door down, you know,
because
from there, I got the first 10-day, I got the second 10-day, and then they signed me for the rest of the year, and then we go into summer, I'm a free agent, and they signed me back again for a 2-year deal, and that was, and it was just like, man, like, when you asked about when I kicked the door down, that was the time. And that was just when I felt like it was a weight on my shoulders. It was like, hey, weight off my shoulders of me trying to scratch. Like, I'm knocking on the door, I'm scratching like a dog trying to get in. I'm just scratching. And then, boom, like, I finally, like, kicked that door down. And I was like, hey, I'm here. There's people starting to recognize me. Like, cause I had games where I had made noise, where I played well. I had been the Tim Frazier of my junior year. I had been the Tim Frazier of the G League.
Right.
The MVP, the, you know, rookie of the year. That was showing in some of these games, and I'm doing this at the highest level against some of the best players in the world. You know what I mean? I know you can look up YouTube where I'm like going at the Golden State Warriors. I'm going at Steph Curry. I'm going at KD. I'm like, you know what I mean? I'm looking at, you know, and I was like, hey, this door has been knocked down. I belong here. This is something that is for me. God made this for me. He's given me this opportunity, and I'm going to take it as long as I can take it.
Oh, man. I'm getting butterflies kind of just thinking about it, but it's like, I had to feel like all this stuff to that point when they gave you not only, okay, you're with us for the rest of the year, we're going to give you a 2 year after that, and this is, you know, like, this is the real deal. Like, when you got that news, I mean, it just had to be super emotional, right?
It was huge. It was, and then the crazy thing is that I wasn't sure. Like, you know what I mean? Because it's free agency. And this is my first time really, like, going through free agency. So there was, like, other teams that called as well. But it was no really guarantees. It was like, hey, we'll bring Tim in. You know what I mean? On non-guarantee. We want him there. And then I think at the time I had a deal with Brooklyn. It was, like, the first year's guarantee, second year's team option. And I was, like, and it was – but I didn't really have those deals because of my rights were restricted. So I was restricted by New Orleans in the first place. So, like, literally it was on them. But we had other teams that were calling and say, hey – can we get Tim? What is
right.
You know what I mean? Things like that. But when I ended up doing it, I think it was during summer league. So I was in Vegas. You know, I wasn't playing, but I was there, like trying, you know, obviously showing your face, being around guys where I was working out with the team in New Orleans, the summer league team, being around and stuff like that. And obviously my friends are there. Dane was there, the guys in Portland. So I'm just, again, I'm just around that at the time. Like I used to go to summer league just to be around because you're shaking hands, you're meeting people, you know what I mean? At the time that, and I think Phil was there, you know what I mean? I think I'm at that my time.
Wow.
And I would Phil with Dane too. Dane, like he would have Phil come out and work him out. And, you know, so, and I got the call and I was in Vegas at the time and I'm sitting there and it's like, oh my gosh. Like the first thing, like, and it was like early in the morning. And the first thing I did was I just called my family.
Oh.
You know what I mean? And I just tell him, I was like, I just got a 2 year deal. This and this, man. I can't believe it. Like, you know, I can't believe it. Like, and it's no words. I can't explain the feeling that it was because, you know, you see all the hard work and the stuff that you've done and the adversity, the getting cut, the flying from no shoes, the everything. Like, it's just, you know, you just, only thing you can do is just embrace your journey, embrace your story. And like, I started to remember the old thing, like draft night when I was at my coach's house, your time is coming. You know what I mean? You start to remember those things. It's like, hey, man. And it wasn't that I had made it, but it was just like, man, I had finally kicked the door down because I still had to stay, you know, in the NBA.
Right.
Like, sometimes you get there, but you still have to stay. And from there, now my next task was to continue to get better. It was to continue to build resumes, was continue to stay, and was to just not take this for granted. You know, and that was the biggest thing when people take things for granted and being in the NBA all the time. You see, they say the amount of years in the NBA is 2 years, 3 years, I think that's the max or the average or whatever it may be. And now I was like, hey, I'm here. I want to be here for a long time.
Yeah. With AD, how did the relationship progress to, hey, man, he keeps on walking to you being best man at the guy's wedding?
Yeah, so the relationship just kept, it kept growing. You know, he's very quiet, kind of standoffish and not standoff. He's just a quiet guy. I mean, you know, he stays close to his family.
Keeps to himself, yep.
Yes, keeps to himself, stay close to his family. And then kind of I just, when I was in New Orleans, I lived, obviously he had, you know, a nice crib, but I lived close by, like maybe 5-10 minutes. So I remember I used to always just bug him, like, hey, man, what you doing? Now I'm just here playing a game or whatever like that. I was like, hey, man, can I come by kind of thing? So I would come by and like his family, with a mom, dad, sister, you know what I mean? So I'm there just around the family. They would play cards. I would come because I'm living by myself. I'm by myself.
Yeah.
Like I don't really know anybody. It's New Orleans. It's not like you could just be out there just walking around the streets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not Portland, you know what I mean? So,
right.
So I like, and that's how that relationship ended up bonding. And for me, I knew what my job was. I knew what my role was. It was to get him the ball. Not necessarily, hey, here you go, AD, every time. But I knew that he was the best shot for us to win.
Yep.
When he got the ball, he played well, especially we talk about AD in New Orleans and, you know what I mean, unstoppable, you know what I mean? So, like, that was I knew what my role was, and that helped me become, you know, you think about from my time in New Orleans, coming to third point guard to backup to starting, you know what I mean, to going back to backup to being a starter, you know what I mean? So that, because I knew that was my, they knew that if we put Tim in the game, he's going to push the pace. He's going to find guys. He's going to be pesky on defense, and he's going to be on the attack. And that's what I found out that role, and I ran with it, and I knew it, and I was likable. You know what I mean? Everybody liked me. You know what I mean? The coaches liked me, players liked me. I don't know if it's true or not. That's just what I got, the feeling that I got from everybody, and it went a long ways.
I'm willing to bet that best
man in his wedding, you know?
Right. I'm willing to bet that it was absolutely true, so I'm trying to put myself into your shoes. I mean, you go from just how do I get this door down to the door's down, and now, like you said, how do I stay? Like, did you have to recalibrate the mindset, or did you have to sort of say like, okay, this is a slightly different objective now. How do I do that? I mean, what was that like?
Well, you never lose the mindset of still chasing it. And for me, I was still chasing it because at the end of the day, yeah, I might be on the team, but I wasn't, you know what I mean? I'm not signing a 5-year max deal.
Right.
You know
what I mean? So, right.
I'm still chasing it. So I'm still like, my contracts are still towards the lower end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And once you get in the NBA, you start to see the business side of it. That it's not necessarily about your skills or what you do or what you bring to the table. Sometimes you get thrown into pieces and certain things happen because of just business.
Yeah.
And for me, it was like, hey, you're here. Make the most of it. Continue to chase, because at the end of the day, it can be taken like this. And I had experience of that in Philly, in Portland. Right. I had experience of seeing how it can be taken like this just for one phone call or even an injury when we talk about college. So I had the experience of seeing it, you know, like, hey man, I'm just going to max out every time I can, just max out as much as I can to help the team, help myself, and, you know, be the best person, human being that I can be.
Man. And so with that, the business side of it, we get to the trade, right?
Yeah.
Right. So that takes us.
Which is, you know, another, you know, I keep saying, you, they're obstacles and stuff. I just call them speed bumps, you know, you know, and then you look how I, you know, you hit them, you keep going through them, and you get back up, or you get knocked down, stand back up. So after the summer of the deal, you know, I feel like I played well, you know, averaged, I think I'm the best, most I averaged in the time. And then literally I go to New Orleans in the summer because, you know, I'm from Houston. So I was in Houston for, I would go back and forth. I went to New Orleans during the time, and I was there for a week working out. Everybody's cool. I'm saying hello to everybody, going like that. And I think I was supposed to leave Friday, but I left Thursday or Wednesday because it was hurricane season. And then there was a hurricane in the Gulf. So I left and went back to Houston, just being, you know, be back with family at home. So I left, and then boom, I think this was a couple of days before the draft. I get a call and say, hey, my agent called. Oh, no, I'm working out in Houston. In the nighttime, I think maybe 5-6 o'clock, I get done. I come to my phone, 80 text messages, calls, and all of that. And I'm sitting there just like, man, what happened? So I'm literally going through it. I got all these calls from my agent. I call him, and I'm like, what happened? He's like, man, you got traded to DC and to Washington. I'm like, what? Why? Like, I'm like, I was just there. You know, I was just like, I literally just left the day before, and everything was
right.
Fine. Everybody was like, Tim, good seeing you. Like, you know what I mean? And then that's where the business piece came in. And I'm sitting there, I'm just like, what, how? Like, wait, I just played the best I played. Like, you start to think, like, again, the doubt comes in and all that stuff with the creep. Like, what, how? How about do I get traded? And I'm playing the best. And I played. There's other guys on the team that weren't playing. How did I go in that piece? But really, and you start to look at it, and it was not necessarily that New Orleans wanted to get rid of me, but that D.C. wanted me. And I think you start to look at it from a different perspective. And that's what it happened. Yeah, it sucked. I didn't want to leave. You know what I mean? I was in a growing relationship with AD. Everything was cool. I mean, I'm playing well. City, New Orleans, you know what I mean? They liked me. Everything was going well. The team was getting better. We were closely making you know what I mean? So everything was, and now I'm like, man, I got to start all the way over again. But then I started to look at it. I was like, all right, cool. You know what? Now I'm going to see John Wall, Bradley Beal. You know what I mean? And they just won the playoffs playing against Boston. I think that, you know what I mean? That year, the crazy year where IT went crazy. So I'm sitting there, I was like, all right, cool. So now I got a new opportunity. You know? But it's just another speed bump that you get hit with, you know what I mean, just in the game and just in life, and you figure out how you, because I could have sulked and been upset. And I was upset at first, you know what I mean? I didn't even handle it the best way I should have handled it. You know, I didn't. Like, and then, I look back on it, and I'll tell that story. I didn't handle it to the point where the GM in New Orleans called me, and I just didn't answer.
Wow.
Yeah, I just didn't answer. And I'm not.
I mean, you were hurt.
I, yeah, I was hurt. I'm not ashamed to say it. I didn't handle that the best way possible. Mm-hmm. I didn't. And it's crazy because, you know, I ended up coming back to New Orleans and there were some things that I had to do to for that to happen. But, you know, I go to D.C. Things don't really work out the best in D.C. As far as just the playing wise and me playing, you know what I mean? I think it's very tough to play behind like all stars like that, you know what I mean? At my position, you know what I mean, to play behind John. And not saying that he was a great teammate. We had a great team. Everybody loved each other. But I think just for me, I just wasn't ready for it. Let me say that. I wasn't ready for the time to where, because, you know, for him, it was like, hey, you come out. I'm thinking, hey, I'm going to get this a certain amount. I was backing up John to get these certain amount of minutes. But it was like, hey, the other team, they might score, make on a run. You know, John jumps right up. You know what I mean? So the minutes were, it wasn't like it was he would jump right back up and go in a game, or coach knew, you know, hey, this is the guy. This is who I have trust with. You know what I mean? When he's ready, he's ready. You know, and that's tough sometimes, but
that's tough.
That's what I said. That's tough. But at the same time, guys do it. And I wasn't ready for that at the moment. And, you know, if you tell me that now, like I'll knock it out the park, you know, but at the moment I wasn't ready. And you know what I mean? So things didn't work out.
Season,
I was like, just my playing. I wasn't able to maximize the minutes that I were given.
I know that, but I mean, like, how so when you say, like, if you had that now, knowing what you know and kind of the where you're at stage, like, if you were to run that back, like, you know, obviously, you know, I'm not picturing you were outwardly, you know, necessarily disgruntled inwardly, how would it was obviously hard for you to process the fact that, like, I just got in, like, I'm going back out again. That has to, if you let that creep in, I have to imagine that has to kind of like,
it would creep in and it took over to where I didn't, you don't get to really necessarily enjoy the minutes that you have. It's like, I'm looking over there. There is John. He's coming back. And meanwhile, John and I are cool chips. Nothing.
You're right. Right.
You
of course. I mean?
At the end of the day, everybody wants to play. And when you're the guy, you know, you see, even like, you know, I mean, I was like, I never even got a chance to really, to do this. I never got a chance to really show. I never got a chance to get us the lead back. I never got us a chance to push up the lead, you know, and it was things like that, you know, it's no excuses at all. You know what I mean? I look in the mirror and I'll tell people all the time, I didn't maximize that opportunity. And I don't blame it on anybody else, not on John, not on, you know, I mean, coach, not on anything. I mean, you know, I didn't maximize that opportunity. I had the opportunity and I didn't maximize it. So that, you know, I blame that on myself. And now we're talking about, we're going back in the summer, we're going back in the free agency, and now we're going back into this. And, you know, I mean, I built some type of, you know, resume. So I had teams calling, but it was a lot of, again, non-guarantees. And, you know, I mean, what, you know, now you're trying to figure out who's the best to choose. And, you know, I mean, who's going to give me the best opportunity? You start to weigh all these things. And then Milwaukee called. And, you know, I mean, I'm like, okay, cool. Like, you know, I mean, Milwaukee, now, you know, I took that opportunity. And I think they had called because of my play in New Orleans and Portland against Atlanta. And at this time, Budenholzer was the coach in Milwaukee. So, you know what I mean? So I get there. And again, now I'm back in fighting mode, fighting for a spot and fighting, you know what I mean? Not that I wasn't in before, but now I'm back in fighting mode.
Right.
Like the door, you know what I mean? The door is knocked down, but hey, now it's time to, you know what I mean? Stay in.
Got it.
You know,
before
they throw me out. And so I'm fighting for a spot, and it comes down to myself and Christian Wood.
Wow.
Yeah, right. It comes down to myself and Christian Wood. And last game of the season, we're playing against, or the preseason, playing against Oklahoma City. And it's literally down. They're trying to figure out which way we're going to go. Do we bring another guard, have guard depth, or do we have big depth? And at the end of the day, if they could keep both, they would have kept both of us. But it was literally, you know, I mean, like I said, the business. You know, it was either way, they didn't know which way to go.
Right.
Last game of the preseason, I end up, we playing in OKC. We're down 3. Boom, I hit 3, sent us in overtime. And I'm sitting there like, oh, yeah, I got this in a bag.
That's it.
The game winner, or not the game, or, you know, the sentence in overtime. Like,
I got you.
And they end up choosing Christian Wood. Yeah, they end up choosing Christian Wood, which, again, phenomenal organization, everything great. Giannis was great. You know what I mean? So it was, you know what I mean? I thank everybody.
Business.
You know, business. You know, and I went back to the drawing board, and now we're trying to figure out, man, what's the next step? You know, I'm sitting there, and I remember my agent texted me. He's like, hey, man, the world wants to bring you back, but they're worried about how things ended. where I talk about how I, you know, the gym, yeah, like where how things ended. And I'm sitting there, I'm just like, oh man, it's nothing. Like, you know what I mean? I'm over that. I'm older now. I moved past it. I understand the business. I sent a text to the gym and I told him, hey man, you know what I mean? I apologize how I acted. It's really just immature. Like, you know, I didn't know, you know what I mean? I'm thinking that you guys didn't want me. I just expressed my feelings and just was very open to him. And we went back and forth a little bit. And then next thing you know, my agent called me like a couple of days later and said, hey man, who else wants to sign you?
Wow.
And, yeah. So, you know what I mean? I have no shame in saying, hey, I didn't handle that situation at the end of New Orleans. I didn't handle that situation in D.C. that well. But I was able to make up for that with, you know, just a simple of opening up and talking with the GM. I ended up signing and going back to New Orleans.
Well, here we are again with it's a fumble or a stumble. Like you said, you're sitting here in an impressive way, just manning up and saying, I didn't handle it well, but it's, we all have that. We all have those. Mm-hmm. And then not everybody though has a response to it the right way, you know, and that's so wow. I mean, credit to you for that. And so, okay, so here we are at this spot. So you're going back.
Mm-hmm. I'm back. I'm back in New Orleans. Hey, you know, I'm back playing well. Things are good, looking well. You know, I mean,
right.
Obviously, we're up and down throughout the season. Guys getting hurt. I'm playing well. I'm starting. Right. Matt starting. Come third. You know, I mean, everything's going well. And I get a call. And say, hey, man, we're gonna let you go.
What?
So New Orleans, so New Orleans is letting me go. And then now I'm back at the drawing board. I'm sitting at home, you know what I mean? I think it was about a couple of days, and then my agent calls and say, hey, Milwaukee wants to bring you in. And I'm sitting like, all right. You know what I mean? I'm starting to reminisce. I'm like, hey, this is, again, God's plan, God's timing. I go back to Milwaukee, and they end up waving Christian Wood and bringing me back home. You know, so yeah, it's just a crazy story. Obviously, Christian Wood and our friends as well. So
yeah,
it's like I keep saying all these guys getting waved and I'm fighting for positions, and it's like we're friends.
You know? You're right. That's tough, though.
Yeah, it's tough. But and I ended up signing back in Milwaukee. We ended up going to the Eastern Conference Finals. I build those relationships, play well, like, you know, and it goes a long ways. You know, so this journey of mine, especially in my pro career, is just up and down. Like, I'm knocking down walls, I'm standing up, doors are locked, I'm kicking them down, I'm getting slammed by some of them, I'm getting knocked down by some.
Yeah, but double I wouldn't click change there.
In my career.
Click there, because we can't let you get away with, then we make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Take us inside that. Take us inside, you know, having this once in a generation. I mean, everyone's talking Wemby now, and that could turn out well. I'm sure it had nothing to do with Pop signing that new 5-year deal. What if they get Wemby, right? What if they get Dame now or something crazy? But anyway, Giannis, proven, the Greek freak. Obviously, other quality players, Coach Bud there. Take us inside that. So you just put us in the picture in Milwaukee in that run.
So, you know, I get there, you know, I'm obviously, I know everybody because I was just there at camp. You know what I mean? I played with, you know, guys before that was there. Pat Connaughton was there when I was in Portland. So, like, you know what I mean? I have these relationships, and, you know, I mean, I built that and I've made an impression. You know, I will say this too. I try to make an impression everywhere I go. And it's not just fake or whatever like that. It's just, I try to leave with an impression. You know what I mean? You should. You don't want people to remember you, even if it's, hey, he had 40 that night. Hey, He fought as hard as he can against Dante Exum. Hey, you know what I mean? I remember you asked Brett Brown, if you ask him about him, he'll tell you that I talked to him about my degree in supply chain. That's the first thing he always would say something about. Yeah, I remember. How's that degree in supply chain going? I was like, hey, Brett, you know, I'm trying to play. You know what I mean?
Make an impression.
Right, right. So that was the whole thing. And then I'm just alongside this, you know, I hate to call him a freak, but that's his nickname. This freak of this guy just want it so bad. He just wants it so bad. Like, yeah, I mean, I'll give you an example. We're in the conference final, or we're playing against Boston before we go to the East Conference Finals, and like, we're going, you know, it's a hard match. And then even then, we play Toronto, like, in the next round, he's lifting, he's working out. And like, you do just play.
Wow.
We got a big game tomorrow. You're playing against, you know, the game plan is to stop you. You bang, you know how he plays. He's running through guys. Like, so he's banging out, but he's like, I got to get better. So he's working out the night before games. And I'm talking about not necessarily, hey, I'm going to go get some shots, let's get some touch. I'm talking about full sweat. He has one of the coaches in there. He's going one-on-one with them. he's lifting, and we're not talking about, hey, let me just loosen. I'm talking about he's heavy lifting, deadlifting. Dude is just you could tell how bad he wanted to be great.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing to be a part of that and see that. And, you know, I've seen that in AD, and I've seen that in Dame. Yep. I've seen that in John Brad. Like, in all these teams, I've seen, you know, all-stars, you know, I mean, top 50 players or whatever, show their work ethic. But if you see him, it was just insane. Like, it was insane because of how young he was and how, like, he didn't really know, but he was just, he just knew, I got to get better, and I got to, for us to win, I got to do this no matter what. And that's what he would just try that, and he would do it. And man, it was just amazing to see. He's a great teammate, man. He's a, you know, awesome family as well, man. It was just awesome to be a part of that journey. And like you said, we get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Obviously, Kawhi goes to Toronto and does what he does, and they end up winning that year. But funny story, we tell you, so at the time, you know, Dame and I are close, AD and I are close. No rings for either one of them at the time. I'm in the East Conference Finals, so I'm bragging. I'm like, I'm gonna get a ring for you guys. You guys gonna be upset. Boom, we lose. I speak too soon. We lose. Kawhi becomes Kawhi and does what he does, and they win. Yeah. And I'm sitting there. AD has a ring. Hey, Dame, hopefully he gets a ring.
Man, talk about Coach Bud a little bit, because obviously. Mm-hmm. You got the Greek Freak, you got Pat, you got a lot of great teammates at that time, but the coaching staff there was pretty bomber too.
Yeah, man, I love Bud, and Bud gave me an opportunity, and I think one of the biggest opportunities was when I was in Portland, and Dame was out with an injury. CJ, I think he had just played Miami. CJ had just turned his ankle, so we had them back to back. They didn't play. Coach Terry Stotts gave me the opportunity to play against Atlanta. When Bud was there, he played me the entire game.
Wow.
It was out. It was 47 minutes, and maybe he took me out at the end of the second quarter for 30 seconds. And I remember when Coach Stevens took me out, he was like, I don't know why I did that. You know what I mean? It's 30 seconds right before the half like that. And I think that was my first impression from Bud, because Bud, when I got there, he was like, I remember when you played against us, you played the whole game.
Wow.
So we flip it and we talk about in Milwaukee, Bud gave me that same opportunity 2 to 3 times because he knew I could do it. He seen me do it. So Bud had this trust in me that I know I can put Tim out there. He'll carry the team. He'll play the right way. And like I said, I love Bud, man. I thank him for him as well. As far as my career, gives me the opportunity to really go out there and showcase and play. And Bud was confident enough to throw me in games in the playoffs. And because again, we go back and play Atlanta, but I'm in Milwaukee, Bud's coaching is Atlanta, and I play the entire game. You know what I mean?
He
played the entire game. And I tell you a story, played the entire game. We go back and play Brooklyn. We have a back to back from Atlanta. We fly to Brooklyn. Sometimes I don't understand this flight stuff in the NBA. Play Atlanta. I play the entire game. And I hadn't played in 3 or 4 days, 5 games. I hadn't played at all. Played the entire game.
0-100.
In overtime. Yeah, we lose in overtime. We fly to Brooklyn. Guys are coming back. It's like, there's no way I'm playing it. I'm like, I'm feeling it myself. I'm like, oh, there's no way. I'm sitting back. I'm relaxed. No. First quarter, Tim. And I'm like, what? He's like, Tim. I'm like, all right. So I take all my stuff. I'm going there. And I'm like, dude, I just played 53 minutes last night. Right. And I go in there and I play well. We end up beating Brooklyn. I'm just looking at it. It's just about being ready. Because there's no way, in my mind, I'm saying, hey, guys are back. You know what I mean? They're going to play. No, man, Tim, I like what you did. Hey, we need you in here today. Go ahead.
Wow. And I think, too, that you talked about it earlier. And then there's the example of it at this level of you just have to not only be enjoyable to be around, but you gotta, it's a skill and it's a hard one to just always be ready when it's not consistent. Some players, they know I'm in the rotation. I get 8 minutes here. I get 8 minutes there. Second quarter, fourth quarter, boom, that's my spot. Boom. Okay, great. You just kind of fall into the rhythm. When that rhythm isn't there, I mean, we had Judd Bushler on and if he got in, he better be hitting his threes. He better be playing D.
If Michael's kicking it out, particularly. Well, even that one practice he told us, everyone thinks about, what did Scotty think or what did Phil think or Dennis? First practice back. Well, the first pass Jordan makes is to Judd. He's open for three, and he knocks it down, and he said, Mike fist bumped him, and he was like, I'm just going to run out of the gym and never come back to the league. I'm out. I'm leaving on a high note.
Right.
But it's like that thing of like, that's a whole skill in itself amongst all the skills of the NBA. You talk about, oh, you got to have one pro skill. You got to either be rebound, defense, you got to shoot, dribble,
three pass and D.
At the most elite level, but you don't really talk about the whole sector of players that have to be able to have no consistency in their rotation minutes, but then be ready at moment's notice. I mean, that's a whole thing. And it's, you know, credit to you for being ready in those moments and earning that trust that Coach Bud gave you in those spots. But also I think what's really worth highlighting on that too is it goes to show why putting your best foot forward and putting everything on the line, no matter the moment, like it wasn't probably a super significant game in Atlanta or like in those, like, yep. It's not like it was, you know, a national TV game necessarily or any of that stuff. It was like, everybody knows you're not going to not play hard, but it's like that though. You never know when you're on audition in front of for your next opportunity.
Correct. And that goes a long way. And I think that's helped me as well. Just the, what you see when you watch, when I go out there and compete, how does he play?
Yeah.
Even if it's for 30 seconds, how does he play right. In the games? How does he, and that goes a long way because people are seeing that and everybody watches that. You know what I mean? They wouldn't be doing their job to not do that because everybody wants to find hidden gems that, hey, maybe if they get more opportunities, they can become something else. And, you know, you look at the stories of a lot of people and a lot of players, you know what I mean? You think about Dames, Weber State. Hey, somebody went out there and was like, you know what? Hey, Weber State, CJ, Lehigh, you know what I mean? Like, hey, these guys can do, you know what I mean, with opportunity, with, you know what I mean, with a little bit of this and this and that, they can become the players that they become and more. And that's what, you know what I mean, that's what I always took it as like, hey, man, I don't know how many more minutes I'm going to get.
Right.
Or when I do get the minutes, I got to be ready. I got to at least show that, hey, I'm ready at all times.
Never know who's watching.
Yeah, exactly. And it panned out, like you said, I think that the playing 4 minutes really was something that caught Bud's eye. Obviously, he got to see it firsthand in camp when I was competing for the spot. But it was something that was like, hey, we needed a point guard. Tim became available. We got to bring him back. Yeah. We saw what he did here. Nobody can do when he plays. We got to bring him back. And that was something that I believe happened. And that's based off how you react and how you did things in the past.
Not to derail the progress of our story because we want you to keep going, but you mentioned the name of another coach who kind of gave you almost like this audition against Atlanta. And a coach that, you know, Chris came in one of our first episodes and, well, it was two because it was like 3.5 hours and it was full Cayman, man. And we love Chris, you know. Tim's got this. Tim's
no,
got
no filter on Cayman. There's yeah, no filter on Cayman.
No. And it was, yes. If you ever have a spare 3.5 hours, I highly recommend it. But anyway, he talked about Terry Stotts being both one of the best coaches and one of the best human beings he's ever been around. Yeah. And talk to us a little bit about Coach Stotts and what he means to you.
He's awesome too, man. He was somebody that, like you said, gave me the first opportunity as far as like, you know, obviously Brett Brown was the first, or you talk about Brad Stevens in Boston, but I'm saying as far as like in Portland, he gave me that opportunity to showcase of, hey, I'm going to put you out there the whole game. And he told me, he was like, hey, I'm going to play the whole game. And the funny thing about that, I think I picked up 3 fouls in the first quarter. And I remember looking at back at Terry, I'm like, he's like, and then he calls me over to the side. He's like, hey, man, I'm trying to play you the whole game, but just you got to stop fouling. You know what I mean? So I'm like, all right, cool. Like that. And I think I ended up maybe 5 fouls at the end of the day, but I played the whole game. But, and I will give a great story about Terry. First off, so remember when I signed, I won the MVP in rookie of the year. And we were in the playoffs against Memphis. And I remember we had just had shoot around. We're all sitting in the locker room. And they were like, I forgot how he announced it, but it was like, hey, man, we got an MVP in the building, you know, or type of thing. I'm thinking somebody's coming in or Dame, or he was like,
because you had won it in the D League
had won it in the D League, but I never got, it was literally right. Day, like, you know what I mean? I'm not thinking it now, you know what I mean?
Right.
We're past that. And I'm sitting there and then literally they bring the trophies in. They bring, hey, we got a rookie of the year here. And I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, maybe he's talking about Dame had won rookie of the year or whatever. And he said, Tim, come on, I'm up here. And I'm sitting there like, what? And like, weird. Like, I'm talking about all the pros right here. I'm like, what? Come on up here. So I come up there, they hand me the trophy like that, and boom, they hand me the MVP trophy too. I'm sitting there just like, and like literally there's a picture of me next to Terry holding both of my trophies.
No way.
Before the playoffs against Memphis. I just, like, I'm thinking about how, you know, I mean, Terry was such a great human being. Like Chris said, it was like, that didn't have to be done. You know what I mean? He did that and acknowledged my accomplishments of something that was in the G League that had nothing to do with the Blazers. And he acknowledged that. And, you know, I mean, that was huge for me. And it was obviously everybody kind of comes up, they take a picture, that everybody's clapping for me. Like, Ed was there. You know what I mean?
ED was there. Was Steve Blake in that locker room too? And ED, like, all those guys. I had those guys all when I was with the Lakers, but
it was awesome, man. And I think, and I give you
that. Wow, that is so special.
Birthday, Terry was still text. Like, I had left and I was in New Orleans and I was in all these different places, and Terry was still texting on my birthday and say happy birthday. I'm sure he had it saved in his calendar or whatever, but even after I was gone and, like, you know what I mean, we wasn't talking, Terry was still, he would text me every day he would text me on my birthday, and he would text me the picture of me holding the trophies on that same day in the memory all the time.
He's like,
"Man, day."
Hey crew, thanks for listening to part 2 with Tim Frazier. Be ready for part 3 next Wednesday. Stay basketball strong. Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed today's show, and we hope you did, please give us a good review on Apple Podcasts or whichever platform you listen to podcasts on. And so you never miss a weekly episode, be sure to subscribe and follow. You can find previous episodes on our show website. That's www.basketballstrongpodcast.com. For more basketball performance resources and nagging injury solutions, follow me on Instagram at TDAthletesEdge and follow Phil at PhilWhiteBooks. Until next week's episode, stay basketball strong.